にちは。
こんにちは。
バイリンガルニュースでは日本語と英語でニュースを紹介しています。その後にマイケルは英語で、私は日本語で、バイリンガル会話形式でコメントしていきます。文字起こしのテキストや各エピソードごとの宿題は番組公式アプリからチェックしてみてください。コロナウイルス感染拡大を受けて、今日からバイリンガルニュースもリモート収録を始めることにしました。なのでちょっと初めてのそう、初めての試みなので、オーディオがちゃんと聞こえるかとかね、いろいろ不安はあるんだけど、うまくいきますように、1個目、人間の寿命は女性の方が男性より 7.8% 長い傾向にありますが、米国科学アカデミー企業に掲載されたバース大学とリヨン第一大学の研究で、101種類の野生の哺乳類の寿命を調査した結果、6割以上の種においてメスの平均寿命がオスより 18% も長いことが分かりました。具体的な理由は不明ですが、環境条件と繁殖における性別特有のコストの間に複雑な相互作用がある可能性をチームは示唆しています。例えばライオンのメスの寿命はオスより少なくとも 50% も長い傾向にあり、これまで群れのリーダーになるためにオス同士が戦うことが主な原因と考えられてきました。しかし今回の研究で、1匹で暮らすことが多いオスに比べ、メスは母親、姉妹、娘など共同で生活しており、そうしたサポートシステムが寿命を伸ばしている可能性があることが分かりました。また哺乳類のメスは出産と子育てが寿命への大きなコストになりますが、オスが子育てを一緒に行う場合はそのコストが減少していました。
The average human lifespan is 7.8% longer for women than it is for men. A study published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences by researchers at Bath University and Lyon University analyzed the lifespans of 101 mammalsand found that for 60% of them, the lifespan of males was 18% less than for females. While the specific reason is not well understood, the authors suggest that it involves complex interactions between the local environment and sex-specific reproductive costs. For example, lionesses live 50% longer in the wild than males. It was previously thought that this was because males fought with each other for access to females.However, this study found that lionesses living with sisters, mothers, and daughters together as a support system increases their lifespan. Furthermore, while giving birth and raising a child taxes the lifespan, doing so with a male reduces that burden.
そう。まあ、あの、人間に関しては女性の方が長く生きるっていうのはみんな知ってると思うんだけど、それは人間に限ったことではなくて、他の動物でもそういうのが多いっていう話で、あの、今後はこう動物園の動物も対象に調査していくって言ってた、その当然野生の動物とは環境が全然違うのでっていう。
So are they thinking that all the animals that live in zoos would have at least some kind of support system?
どうなんだろうね。でもこのライオン、
So maybe it would be more
うん、
maybe it would be more even between the sexes because none of the males are sort of off on their own.
Maybe. あの、ライオンの生態について私は全然詳しくなかったんだけど、これでちょっと見てたらすごいこう過酷なんだよね、オスは。あの、なんだろう、よくテレビとかで見るとオスとメスでこう群れになって、まあ、ライオンキングもそうだけどさ、一緒に暮らしてるから、オスはみんなこうどこかの群れに属してるのかと思ってたんだけど、やっぱりその勝ち残ったオスしか当然その群れにはいられないわけだから、まあ、本当に大量のオスがもう一生一人で暮らさないといけなくて、当然その繁殖もしないしっていう。だから、まあ、当然その群れで暮らしているメスと比べると、そうやって一人で一生を終えないといけないオスはかなり寿命が短くなってしまうっていう。
Do they think that this sort of effect applies to human beings as well? That, I mean, do men with support systems live Like, do married men live a lot longer than single
men? あ、そう、そういう論文たくさんあるよね。その、特に男性においては結婚することによって、なんか例えば心疾患とか、あの精神的な病気とかになる確率が減って、あの寿命も伸びるみたいな、あの研究は結構あるよね。がやっぱり一人で暮らしてるっていうのは、まあ、特にライオンはこの寿命の男女の差がすごい激しいわけだけど、単純にその怪我してしまったりとか病気になってしまった時に誰もご飯を持ってきてくれるライオンがいないとか、そのまま餓死しちゃうとかさ、うん、っていうのはメスの方が確率としては少ないっていう。
So they still think that、the males fighting with other males is still a factor in their and them having a shorter lifespan?
うん、でも多分それが主な原因ではないっていう感じの書き方だった。なんかその持ってるデータは それが主な原因っていうことは示唆してないみたいな。
But those two things together could、create a larger effect. So if you were fighting other males and you were injured and you didn't have a support system, that could be fatal versus, you know, if you did have support, then even if you got injured, you know, other people could, people or other lions could provide food.
あとちょっとこの論文を見てたのと、その他にライオンについてちょっと調べて思ったのは、多分すごいモテるオスと全然モテないオスの差がものすごく激しいんだよね。だから強くてモテるオスっていうのはいろんな群れのリーダーを兼任してたりとかして、一方で、まあ、ちょっと気が弱いとか体が小さいとか、まあ、何かしらその群れに加わったというか群れのリーダーを務めることが困難なオスっていうのはもう最初から一生一人みたいな、で多分そっちの方が数が多いんじゃないかと思う。だからそのオスがみんなお互い常にこう戦って切磋琢磨してみたいな感じではなさそう。だから多分それが主な原因じゃないっていうことだと思うんだけど。
What do you think about that sort of equity between males among human beings? Do you think that there's, I mean, I've seen research about dating apps where a very small number of men on the dating apps get swiped in the correct direction by all, you know, way more women. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
So like a small number of men on dating apps are accepted in the app by, like, the vast majority of men on dating apps are ignored, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I don't know. どうなんだ、まあ、
But that's kind of what happens if you...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
の人間はその一応結婚制度っていうのがあって、重婚が禁止されてるとか制度上のその制約があるから、それがこうトリガーとなってもうちょっと分散するみたいなのは動物に比べたらあるかもしれないけど、でもそれでもやっぱ偏りはあるよね、もちろん。
There's also this network effect where if everyone can see everyone, or if everyone could potentially date everyone, then people's selection narrows dramatically, you know? And it's like everyone uses Facebook and no one really tries to use other networks because it's just accessible. It appears accessible to everyone. I mean, these people in the dating apps, the people that are getting swiped by so many people, they can only actually, you know, marry and have a family with, you know, probably one person, right?
yeah.
But they're getting attention from like thousands and thousands and thousands. I mean, this is true for celebrities also.
Yeah, like I think that kind of distorts reality for some people. Like one of my friends, he's a guy and he's been on Tinder for like ever. But, なんだろうな。その、Tinder に行って大量の女性をこうスワイプしてるわけじゃん。 そうすると実際にその結果として出会ってご飯食べて付き合ってとかまで行く女性の数って本当はすごい少ないんだけど、なんか大量にカタログとしてこうやってペラペラペラペラ見てるから、なんか世の中大量に人がいてこんなん選び放題じゃんみたいな、なんか実際はあっちの気持ちとかもあるし、こう例えば住んでる場所が不便とかなんかいろんな要素があるから、そんなにこうマッチする相手が大量にいるわけじゃないんだけど、なんかそういう幻想を抱き始めるみたいなのは見たことある。
で、It's so the opposite. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
で、その結果としてなんだろう、ちょっとマッチしていい感じになってもその関係性を大事にしないというか、なんか他にもいっぱいいるしどうでもいいやみたいな感じで、こう冷たくあしらったりとかしてるうちになんか誰もいなくなるみたいな。
It's this replaceable feeling, right?
そうそうそうそう、なんかアプリ開けばいつでもいっぱいいるしみたいな。まあそれは確かにそう、アプリないよりかはもちろん出会いがいっぱいあるだろうし、なんかそこのメリットっていうのはもちろんあると思うんだけど、たくさん、ただこうある意味でそういう風なイリュージョンに惑わされちゃう場合もあるだろうなっていうのは見てて思ったけど、
What do you think are some So I was thinking about, you know, the lifespan difference between men and women, male and female humans.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of different factors that bias that one way or the other. One would be like warfare. Now, we haven't had like World War One or World War Two type events. But those events, you know, historically have, cut a lot of male lives much shorter, right?
Yeah.
And then there's also a tendency for men to engage in riskier behavior from teenage years, right?
Mm.
You know, riding a motorcycle or, you know,
まあ、普通に高いところから飛び降りるとかね。
Yeah, and I have that impulse like really strongly too. Like I get a weird thrill out of like going faster than I should.
Yeah.
You know, no matter what it is. I could be riding a bicycle and I'm like, wow, if I just go really fast. I don't know what it is. It's weird.
I have zero impulse of that. I never want to go fast. It just scares me.
The first time I got on skis...I tucked my poles under my armpits and just went full speed down the mountain.
You're
and I
nuts.
Did the exact same thing when the first time I went snowboarding and I broke my ribs. I was just trying to go as fast as possible. It's really strange.
But why would you want to do that?
I don't know.
It's
fun.
It's for fun?
It's fun. And I used to drive on the 峠.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the same kind of thing.
怖くないの？なんかこうなっちゃうかもしれないとか、例えば骨が折れたらどうしようとか、そういうことはもう全部忘れてるってこと？
It's the craziest adrenaline rush. It's like more than adrenaline. It's like, I don't even know. There's nothing that really feels like it, but it's just like...You get in this really weird zone where, you know, if you make one mistake, you're like dead.
Yeah.
And your hands are like, I'd like get out of my car and my hands are like shaking, you know, like it's so bizarre. A lot of people have that sort of, they're called thrill junkies, I guess.
Or just toxoplasma in your brain.
Or toxoplasmosis, yeah.
Yeah, because when I'm skiing or snowboarding or, I don't know, doing anything that could, you know, cause injuries, I just think about all kinds of worst case scenarios. And I'm just really scared.
Mm.
So I don't really understand how you can kind of forget that. I'm kind of jealous in a sense, but yeah, it's just, I don't know, I just get scared.
It's like a mindless overconfidence. Like if I'm snowboarding, I'm like, I could probably do that jump. I could probably, you know, and you're just pushing that limit all the time.
Like the other day
you're just
we were
constantly playing with that line.
My husband and I were watching the documentary Tiger King, and this guy, the zoo manager, is wearing prosthetics for both of his legs.
Wow.
And in one scene, he's like, yeah, so this actually has nothing to do with tigers. I had an accident when I was younger on zipline.
Wow.
He fell and lost both of his legs. And my husband and I were looking at each other. Yeah. And my husband and I were looking at each other and we were like, okay, we will never, ever do zipline ever again. It's so scary. I didn't know that you could fall from that thing. I mean, I'm.
It does
yeah,
look really
could,
sketch, though.
Really? I mean, it's so simple. So I just, I don't know.
Isn't it just like a wheel and like a carabiner?
Yeah, and some straps around your like hips, but. I love it. It's so much fun. So, but after seeing that guy, it's so scary.
So he fell and broke both his legs and they had to amputate his legs?
Yeah.
That's what happened?
Yeah.
That happens? Like you fall and you just like break your leg? I mean, I guess obviously that would happen, but.
Yeah, that's so kawaii.
Because have you seen that? What was that ski lift movie? There was like this horror movie where
trapped. Didn't we watch that together? It
Maybe.
Was with didn't it have James Franco's brother? No, we definitely watched it together.
I can't
remember. Ski no lift ni notte tara tomatchan da yo ne tochuu de.
And they're stuck there for like
Yeah, yoru o sugosanakya ikenakute demo meccha samukute toushi suru kara dou ni ka shite 抜け出さないといけないみたいな映画だよね。
うん。最後にジャンプしたじゃん。
Yeah. I remember that scene. Yeah,
both his legs broke, right?
Yeah.
His legs totally broke.
Yeah. しかもさ、I don't know if you remember, but このリフトのバーをさ、寒いからこうやって持ってたら、なんか凍っちゃってそこに手が張り付いちゃうみたいな、地味に超痛い怖いシーンとかあった。
That was a really komakai horror.
Yeah. It's really stupid. It's called Frozen.
It's called Wow.
The Frozen hayaru mae no kochi no ga hontou no Frozen da yo 2010 nen da tte.
Yeah, that it didn't have a good ending, I don't think. It was rough at the end.
なんかあんまり覚えてないけど話は。あ、でも全然ジェームス・フランコの弟じゃなかった。なんか知らない人。ああでもああなんかちょっと見たことあるけど名前は知らないみたいな俳優だね。
うん、
次。ケンブリッジ大学の研究で専門家やメディアが不確定な事実や数値を発表する際信頼を損なわずに一般向けに伝える方法があることを発見しました。チームは5つの実験を行い合計5780人の被験者を対象に様々なやり方で不確定なデータを公開しその信頼度やデータが不確定であることを認識できた度合いを測りました。最も効果的だったのは例えば失業率は推定で 3.9%、3.7% から 4.1% の間上昇した、など、数値が推定されたものであることと、数値の上限と下限の幅を明記した場合でした。被験者は数字が確定していないことを十分理解しつつ、データ自体やそれを発表した人への信頼度も損なわれていませんでした。
In a study conducted by Cambridge University, researchers have found a way for experts and the media to communicate uncertain information to the public while better maintaining trust. The research team conducted 5 experiments involving 5,780 subjects, in which various methods of presenting uncertain data were evaluated in terms of their trustworthiness and how they communicated the uncertainty. They found that it is effective to present data in the following way. Quote, the unemployment rate rose to an estimated 3.9%, and in parentheses, between 3.7% and 4.1%, stating that it is an estimate and presenting the range. In this way, subjects are both aware that the numbers are uncertain and don't lose trust in the sources.
そう、この論文に書いてあったのは、まあ、人間の知識にもう限界があるっていうことをオーディエンス側に透明にすること、分からないっていうことに正直になるっていうことで、逆にその信頼度を上げていくみたいな。だから今やっぱりメディアだと、こうメディアとかまあフェイクニュースとかっていうのは不確定要素が大きいデータとかも揺るがない事実として報じてしまう傾向にあるわけで、まあ、特にフェイクニュースなんていうのはこう断定した言い方をすることが多いからっていう話だった、
うん、
でもちろん今コロナウイルスの話があるから論文でもそれに少し触れられていたけど、例えばその感染者数とかはまあ当然だけどぴったり、うん、なんていうのあった数字、正確な数字が分かるわけではないから、それをどこまでどういうふうにコミュニケーションするのかっていう。
Right. Like they, in some cases, they're not including the appropriate qualifiers when they present some information.、
Mm.
You know, so they could say there's, we have this many people who tested positive, but that shouldn't be expressed as this is how many infected people there are.、
Mm. そうで特に、まあ、今、まあ、コロナウイルスはすごいいい例だと思うけど、科学的に見たときにまあ、今ここだけ分かってる分でそれにはこれぐらいの根拠がありますっていう、でもそれはその時のベストな情報であって、まあ、どんどん情報が増えていくにつれて当然ファクトとされているものも変わっていくわけじゃない、
うん、
でそれはまあ当たり前のことであって、だから専門家がなんだろう日に日に日を追うごとに、まあ、情報が増えていって意見が変わるっていうのも当たり前のことであって、それがなんか一般の人にうまく伝わってないことも結構あると思うから、今なんか言ってたことと違うじゃないかみたいな、
うん、
っていうなんかこう批判になってしまったりとか、まあ、あとはその
people tend to have、
うん、
people tend to have really you know binary or boolean type thinking、
うん、
and we tend toYou know, is it this or is it not this? And journalists have a really bad habit of asking questions that aren't friendly to the uncertainty of the situation. They
yeah,
want
yeah.
A declarative headline statement, right? They want to be able to report something with certainty. And they want people who they're asking questions to say things with certainty. But...Yeah, with the coronavirus situation, everything's uncertain. We've seen this specific issue come up around the prospect of using certain drugs to treat the novel coronavirus.
Hmm.
You know, so some people are saying, well, this drug appears to be efficacious according to, you know, some anecdotal reports, right?
Yeah.
And people don't know how to interpret that. Well, it's like, well, that means people are saying that it works. Well, that's true. But, you know, what the general public doesn't know how to respond to that sort of statement. I'm not even really sure how to respond to that sort of statement.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
It might work. So, you know, what does that mean? Is there a 15% chance that it works? Or is there like a 70% chance that it works? And when they make... even this example about the unemployment rate, giving the range. You want to give, you want to say what the confidence level is for that range.
Right.
So the wider the range,
the
higher the confidence level is, right?
If you narrow the range,
if you narrow the range, then the confidence level goes down significantly.
So
a typical confidence level is 95%. So that's the interval you should give, right? So you want to give the range at which you're 95% confident. So they didn't state what the confidence level was in this example, but I'm assuming that they're 95% certain that it's between 3.7% and 4.1%.
まあそこまで言ってくれると一番親切だよね。この研究の背景としてやっぱりメディアとか専門家が特に根拠があるわけではないんだけども、その不確定の情報を外に出すときにこれは不確定ですっていう雰囲気を醸し出すと、なんかオーディエンスが信頼してくれないみたいなふうに思っている節があると。でも実際はまあそうじゃないんですよっていう、研究なんだけど。
This kind of follows the rule about what do you call it? Superlatives and basically if something is first, right? Mm. Or if something is the most something.
多分私とみたいなこうコミュニケーションの分野にいる人はみんな知ってると思うけど、なんかメディアっていうのは数字とあと初めてとか史上初とか、あと新しいとかそういうのが好きだから、ヘッドラインに使うのもだからどうしてもこう推定で何々とかぼんやりしたのだと使いにくいんだよね。だからこう結果としてやっぱり断定したいっていうのあると思う。
And nobody really cares about someone announcing the second version of something.
Yeah, yeah. So.
And so I think there's a similar effect with the ranges. Like ranges communicate it well, but they don't. If you're communicating a range, that's not going to propagate well on social media. You know, that's not going to get as many clicks, right? So Cambridge University or somebody has to figure out, you know, how can we weigh, you know, communicating it in an accurate way while preserving our brand, but also being competitive in terms of a clickbaity. Like, how do you have a clickbaity headline that also includes... You know, the trustworthiness and the uncertainty, right?
You can
communicate uncertainty and you can maintain your brand, but are people going to click it? You know?
Yeah.
There's nothing that you want to click right away that has like a, you know...
Maybe, oh, but
we're... Yeah.
Yeah. まあそこは両立できるものなのかっていう。まあ、だから多分その発信する側もあるけど、受け取る側のリテラシーとしてこういうのを分かってないといけないよっていうのもあるよね、もちろん。
Well, if preferences change among the public, then we can have better engagement with more trustworthy information. It's just nobody has a good brand right now. Like, who has a really good brand in media, in communicating accurate information? You know, all the brands that were trusted to communicate accurate information have soiled themselves.
Yeah, it's interesting because right now you can see その brands じゃなくて individuals がそれをやってるのがリアルタイムで見られるっていうすごいレアな状況だと思ってるのね。このコロナウイルスに関して、専門家とか、まあ、山中伸弥教授は、まあ、感染症が専門ではないけれども、自分のサイトを立ち上げて政府に提言してたりとか、その メディアじゃなくて専門家個人個人が、あ、これはやばいって言って発信している。でその中でも専門家によって発信のスタイルが違うから、すごいこう煽った感じに言う人もいれば、めちゃくちゃ慎重に、まあ、こういう感じでこの研究で言われているような感じで発信している人もいて、だからどれがうまくいってどれがうまくいかないかっていうのはまさに社会実験みたいな感じで今リアルタイムで見られると思うけど、
And the need for social distancing I think is also going to further atomize people's activities. You know, there are big studios, you know, producing things that have, you know, 20 people hanging out, and you can't do that anymore, right?
Yeah.
I like the sort of the individual reporter thing. It can seem more genuine, but so often the individual gets caught up in something that has nothing to do with the message, and it has to do with themselves and, you know, their character and politics and, you know, just so someone could have just some personal issue that then reflects poorly on a cause they were working towards or something. You know what I mean?
そう、そう、わかる。特にだから今その専門家でも言ってる、なんだろう、その人個人の背景が、まあ、一つのツイートからでは分かんないけど、まあ、長く見てるうちにだんだんこう、あ、なんか背景にこういうアジェンダがありそうだなとかっていうのはまあ見えてくるわけじゃない。ただそれがこう大きいメディアとかよりかは逆に見えやすい気もするから、それはそれで面白いけどね。だからすごいバランスが取れてる人っていうのもいて、そういう人のことはすごい、あ、信頼できるなって思うけど、
I think it's always sketchy if you just have one person doing stuff because people fluctuate a lot and people disappoint. But then if you have a large organization, it just becomes, you know, a psychopathic machine.
Yeah. どっちにしろじゃん、そした
ら。Well, I think I think people generally know that small groups of people are the most effective. That's true for businesses. That's true for anything you're trying to do. It's, you know, yeah. Too many cooks in the kitchen, right?
Yeah.
You end up with too much organizational structure to preserve mobility once an organization gets too large, right? Mm. And that structure it just becomes bureaucratic and arbitrary relative to the issue you're trying to solve. But small organizations, you know, all the amazing organizations, well, products and inventions that we're using today in the IT world were created by very small groups of people who had that nimbleness and that creativity to get things done and moving and change things and adapt. But, you know, Facebook's not going to radically change anymore because it's a bazillion people, and it kind of is just, it's the Microsoft phenomenon, I guess.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's hard to fire people, right? And so, I don't know. I think there is some sweet spot somewhere. It's different for every industry, but I don't think it's one person generally.
なんか去年ぐらいからずっと、まあ、去年っていうかもうここ数年ずっとさ、あ、どんどんなんだろう、この世界がストレンジャーになってなんかクレイジーになっていくねって言ってたけど、This is like not what I expected.
it's the bizarro hypothesis where the world is always going to become more and more strange.
Yeah,
in unexpected ways.
And this like fake news, and it's not even, it doesn't even have to be fake news, but you know, a lot of unconfirmed information flying around and people are angry with each other on the internet, and it's so surreal.
Sometimes I wake up and I'm like, oh yeah, coronavirus, you know, because I wake up and I'm about to just go outside to the konbini or something. I'm like, do it.
Yeah.
You know, and then I kind of check myself. I don't really need to, you know, go buy coffee right now or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty surreal.
Yeah, actually,
like, what's necessary?
I got a message from my son's school yesterday saying, like, try to avoid going to konbini toka. You know, I mean, I don't go to konbini motomoto, but yeah.
Who doesn't go to konbini?
Well, I go to supermarket.
I see.
Yeah. So
it's konbini, just a big konbini, but yeah, konbini has that, you know, tsuru stuff in there.
So.
And konbini no tain probably interacts with, you know, hundreds of people per day. And people are just walking around, like, coughing on and touching all the tsuru surfaces. Right?
So
and it lives, like, I don't know, freaking 12 days or something on there, depending on the surface. The difference in, like, how long it lives on different surfaces is, like, so crazy.
Yeah.
Have you seen those?
Yeah, and Nihon wa ko, ma, ね、本当にやばくなってる国に比べると死者の数とかも少ないけど、いろんなデータとか専門家の意見とかを見てると、もう日本も超ギリギリのラインにいるわけじゃん。なんかでもギリギリのラインにはいるんだけど、経済活動とかもしないといけないし、会社もあるしみたいな感じで、みんながなんとなく普通の生活、まあ、ギリギリ生活の普通の生活を送ってるみたいな、なんかすごい変な宙ぶらりの状態というか。
It depends what industry you're in. So if you're, you know, 飲食店, you're like 終わってる right now.
Yeah.
Right? Like there are certain industries, you know, event organizing and
yeah, 本当そうだよ。
Various service industries where, you know, as far as I know, they haven't gotten support from the government, aside from like mask 2枚or whatever is going on.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, it's crazy.
国産和牛商品券。
なんか結構政府もいろんな、なんか助成金とか、例えば家賃払えない人への補助とか、実はいろいろ出してはいるんだけど、そのコミュニケーションの仕方がうまくいってないから、どうしてもそういうマスク2枚みたいな、なんか衝撃的な方ばっかりにあのフォーカスがいってしまって、そうするとこう、なんだろう、本当は助かる生徒がある人もそのことを知らないまま無駄にこう苦しむ期間が出てきちゃったりとかするだろうし、それはなんか
for the like restaurants and stuff、
ね、休業保証、 yeah, I'm not, I haven't like looked into all the details, but 一応なんか結構いろんな施策とか、あの助成金は一応発表していて、ただやっぱりこうね、センセーショナルなものもボロボロ同時に出してくるから、そのたあの本当に決まったことじゃないにしてもね、そのお肉券みたいなさ、どうしてもみんなそっちにフォーカスしてしまう、それは当たり前だし仕方ないんだけど。
People are scared, and you know they see the United States with, you know, $2 trillion, and I mean,
yeah,
just absolutely gigantic gigantic amounts of money that they're talking about in the States. And I don't think Japan is really talking about that same level of assistance.
Ah, yeah, yeah, yeah. So, so, だから例えばそのドイツとか海外で暮らしてるアーティスト、日本人のアーティストの人とかフリーランスの人が、mm. じゃあもう何十万円すでに銀行に振り込まれましたとかっていう話がもちろん今ネットもあるし聞こえてくるわけじゃない、
mm-hmm.
だそういう時にこうなんだろう日本の政治家が例えばツイッターで外国日本に住んでる外国人は納税してたとしても助けませんみたいなそんなの他の国でもやってないとか言ってたりしてでこう海外に住んでる日本人がえ私助けてもらってるけどみたいなとかなんかそういうこう、mm. なんだろうねギャップが見えてきちゃうとみんなもえどうなってんだろうって懐疑的になってしまうしだからやっぱりんーなんかその省庁の人とかはもちろん死にそうにすごい頑張ってくれてるんだろうけどなんかどうしてもこう政府から国民へのコミュニケーション、まあ、この論文もまさにそういう話の一つだけどコミュニケーションがうまくいってない感じはするよね。
What about like what they're actually doing? Because it, if you look at the infection rate right now, Tokyo will be out of hospital beds in 1 week, maybe a week and a half. But zero, there will be zero left in like a week and a half.
それもなんだろう、例えば。
So like what's going on? So people are worried because they don't want to see the same late. Reactionary situation that we've seen in all these other countries. So Japan has a humongous advantage right now because they've seen it happen in all these different countries, right? Yeah. So it would just be so foolish to not be prepared. But I don't see Japan, you know, building hospitals everywhere or converting the Olympic Stadium into a hospital or converting the Diamond Princess into a hospital. I mean, the United States built a hospital in 3 days that has more hospital beds for infectious disease control than all of Japan. Because Japan, I think, has 3,000 beds available for infectious disease. Right? They built that capacity in 3 days in the States. You know, they're treating this like a war.
Yeah, yeah.
And when if you hear interviews with physicians that are on, you know, the front lines of this, they talk about it like it's a war. You know, people are just dying all over the place.
I know. だからなんか今ネット見てるのとテレビ見てるので、例えばその危機感の差とかもすごいっていうかさ、なんだろう、例えば、まあ今こうやって今日もじゃあリモートで収録しましょうとかやってるわけだけど、例えば昨日か一昨日ぐらい石川県の知事がさ、東京の人今こそみんな観光に来てくださいみたいなことを言っちゃったりとか、それで取材に行って、あ、じゃあ実際東京から来てる観光客にインタビューしましょうとか、え、ちょっと待って、今東京から観光客来てんのみたいな。で、それはもちろん保証がされてないから、あの、ね、ビジネスが立ち行かなくなるっていう危機を持ってる人にとってはある程度ありがたいことでもあるのかもしれないけど、ただその命を守るっていう意味ではあまりにもちょっとギャップがすごいじゃん。
Well, if they end up needing to do you know, a lockdown or something in these other areas, that would be devastating for those businesses.
Yeah.
If you're leaving Tokyo right now, you shouldeither have been in quarantine for 2 weeks in Tokyo yourself or quarantine yourself after leaving Tokyo for at least 2 weeks. But if you don't do that, here's the thing about this virus is, let's say I have the virus and I don't realize I have the virus, right?
Yeah.
And I ride the train because there are asymptomatic people who transmit the disease. Let's say I ride the train and I transmit the virus to 10 people, right? I think that's a reasonable estimate. So I transmit the virus to 10 people, and then those 10 people transmit the virus to 10 people. Right? So that's 100 people, and now I've killed 2 people. Can you hear me?Oh, no. Okay.
そう、ごめん、ちょっと、なんて言えばいいんだろう。今、夫から電話かかってきて、まあ、夫の会社の家族が、もしかして濃厚接触者になってしまったかもしれないみたいな。
うん。
で、まあ今、じゃあうちはどうしようみたいな話をしてたけど、ちょっと、詳細をもうちょっと聞かないと分かんないけど、まあ私と私の息子は違うとこに寝泊まりした方がいいかとか、そういう話。
うん。
いや。
え、どうするの？
分かんない。なんか、まあ話を聞く限り、まあ、うちの夫が例えば移されてるみたいな確率はかなり低そうではあるけど、ちょっともうちょっと詳細を聞かないと分かんないな。
If you can do it, if it doesn't really cost you anything to distance for a couple days, so you can see what the symptom status are on your patient zero.
Yeah. まあ、なんか濃厚接触までもいかないのか。まあ、同じ、まあ、公共交通機関に乗ってたみたいな感じ。
うん。
Yeah.
It's a weak connection, but you know, it seems like the virus is next level contagious. So.
Yeah. だから多分こういう、まあ私今この電話かかってきてちょっとびっくりしたけど、まあこういう判断をしないといけない人が多分たくさん今もいるし、これから増える一方なわけじゃない。それが個々人の判断に委ねられてしまっているし、どれぐらいのリスクなのかっていうのは、まあね、その本人たちしか、なんかどれぐらい接触してるとか、どれぐらいじゃあそのポジティブだった人の近くに座ってたかとか、それは本人しか分かんないから、周りが判断するっていうのはすごく難しいよね。
Do you feel, you know how the risk of getting infected is increasing every single day?
Yeah, 特にまあ私の家のまあまあ近所でも、一人出ましたっていう、まあ、ニュースが出て結構最近、なんかそういうのとかも聞いて、なんだろう、
well, I've heard rumors of people getting infected at different stores around where I live for months, and some of the rumors I heard were later confirmed in the news. So people are, I mean, I think only recently in the news have they started to say like where in Tokyo the concentration is. You know, if it's in like Kanagawa, then they'll say specifically, oh, it's in Sagamihara or something, right?
あ、でもね、うちの近くのやつもは結構スペシフィックだったよ。その店の名前とか場所とか。
うん。But like on the news, until recently, they would just say like Tokyo to. Right? But it, everywhere else, they would say like where the person was, or like, you know, in Kyoto, they're like, oh, they worked at this store and stuff.
Yeah.
But for Tokyo, it would just be like, oh, you know, Tokyo to, you know, 感染者が出ました or something, right? They don't really
say where. Yeah, I think they're trying to be more specific now, but yeah.
It's kind of scary in Tokyo, right? If they say like, oh, in, you know, next to this station, right? Or something.
Yeah, yeah. まあ、そうね。まあ、すごいストレスフルではあるけど、まあ、海外の記事とかを見てるともうすごいやばい状態に入ってから結構時間が経ってるから、なんだろう、みんなのストレスももうマックス状態が続いてて、だからこそこうみんなのメンタル面を気遣うような記事とかもすごい増えてきてるわけじゃない。だからもうちょっとこう楽しい話をちょっとぐらいしましょうとか、こういうかわいい話を見ましょうとか、今東京はまだこうそこまで行ってないから、なんだろう、逆にそのストレスちょっと軽減しようっていう試みもまだ行われてないっていうかさ、まあある意味でそんなのんびりしてる場合じゃないっていう面もあるけど、やっぱあまりにもみんながねすごいストレスをためるっていうのも心配だし、
You should try to manage your own. This is an opportunity for a lot of people to, you know, meditate and get comfortable with themselves and think about their life and think about their values and what it means to be a human being and part of humankind, people kind.
So now,
this is happening on, you know, across the whole world, and no human is really the enemy. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's an opportunity for some rethinking human unity, I guess.
そうね。 OK, 次。 次。
Oh, sorry. NASA has revealed the first pictures of the X-57 Maxwell, an experimental light aircraft intended to improve cruise efficiency by 500%, eliminate aircraft emissions, and reduce noise pollution. The technologies will also help develop certification standards for emerging markets. The aircraft has wings with a high aspect ratio and features 12 electric motors along the leading edge of each wing, as well as larger cruising motors at each wing tip. The smaller motors are only used for takeoff, after which their propellers fold up to avoid creating drag. The aircraft weighs 1,360 kilograms, 390 of which is lithium-ion batteries, which store 69.1 kilowatt-hours of energy. The plane is capable of flying at an altitude up to 4,267 meters and cruises at a speed of 277 miles per hour. The X-57 is named after 19th century Scottish physicist James Clerk Maxwell, who made significant discoveries regarding electromagnetism. It is the first manned X-plane revealed by NASA in over 20 years.
NASA は X-57 Maxwell、 X-57 Maxwell って言った方がいいのかな、と名付けた実験的な軽量飛行機の写真を公開しました。完全電気式のこの飛行機は従来のものと比較して巡航効率が 500% 向上し、 CO2 排出量がゼロになるほか、騒音も軽減されます。これらの技術は新興市場の認証基準の開発にも貢献する予定です。機体には高アスペクト比の翼があり、各翼の前方の縁に沿って12個の電気モーター、各翼の先端には大型の巡航モーターが設置されています。小さい方のモーターは離陸にのみ使用され、離陸後はプロペラが折りたたまれて抗力の発生を防ぎます。機体の重さは 1360kg で、そのうち 390kg は 69.1kWh のエネルギーを蓄えるリチウムイオン電池です。この飛行機は高度4267m、速度、277mph だから、何、時速277マイルでの飛行が可能です。And I guess I missed the last paragraph. So, X-57 は19世紀のスコットランド人の、物理学者ジェームス・クラーク・マックスウェルから由来していて、Electromagnetism は何？
Electromagnetism？
Yeah.電子、日本語なんだ、電磁気学電磁気学に、多大な貢献をした人です。これは、人が乗る X 系飛行機としては20年ぶりの、 NASA にとっては20年ぶりの飛行機です。That's really cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Did you see a picture of it?
Yeah.
Did you notice it has very skinny wings?
なんか普通の飛行機の形ではないよね。
Yeah, mostly the wings are different. The rest of the plane is pretty normal.
でもなんかさ、頭でっ かちっていうか、なんかなんていうんだ、頭でっかちなのか、くびれがある、なんか他何が違うんだろう。
Like the shape?
うん、なんかちょっと違くない、形が。
Well, there are、traditional aircraft that have similar shapes like that.
うん、そっか、まあ、翼はすごい面白いよね。
Because they don't look like they would make that much lift because they're so skinny.
うん、確かに。
And the, it's a very weird airplane that they ended up building. This thing has been under development for quite some time, but it has most of the motors on the wings are not used except for during takeoff. So it's carrying all those motors around just for the takeoff part, right? And for cruising, it just uses those two electric motors on the ends. Well, obviously, you don't see airplanes like that. Most airplanes have two engines or four engines, or sometimes they have an engine in the tail.
Right.
If they're jet aircraft. And then if they're propeller aircraft, usually you have a propeller on the nose, or you could have a couple propellers. But you wouldn't have 12 propellers on each wing, right? So this takes advantage of an effect where if you have the propeller on the front of the wing and it's pushing air over the wing at high speed, it can create the additional lift necessary for takeoff. It's hard for the plane to take off because the wings are so thin.
Yeah,
so that's why they had to add those motors. But if they make the wings larger, then it's not efficient at cruising speed.
なるほど。
Larger wings create a lot of drag.
そっか。
Yeah. I'm not sure how far this plane can go. I could not find that information. It seems important, right?
Yeah. そうだね。
like what's the range of this airplane?
確かに。
But it has around the equivalent amount of battery storage that you'd have in an electric car. That's kind of interesting. And the weight, it's lighter than a car, but
そうなんだ。
Not by much. I think it carries 4 people. So they've made many versions of this, and they haven't really shown people what it's going to be like. But I guess it's done now.
Okay.
So it's finally done. Or they're saying this is the final version of this thing. They think that it will reduce the running costs of light aircraft quite substantially. You know, by 40 to 60% or something. And the fuel cost itself is a huge part of the airline cost, right?
Is this just a concept art, or they already have this?
They built it.
Oh, they built it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah. It works. They built it and it works. The problem is the scale. So if you want to carry more people, you have to build a larger plane, and then you need a lot more batteries, but the energy density of the batteries is not high enough yet. So as the energy density of batteries increases, we will start to see larger and larger aircraft. There are several fully electric light aircraft, but they don't have the range necessary to be useful beyond like sort of a tourism type thing, you know. But they need to establish standards for electric aircraft because there are so many regulations around the safety of aircraft, right?
Right.
And so it's very difficult for the industry to transition to something completely different because nobody knows if what they're building will be approved to fly or, you know. what will happen. So NASA is helping set certification standards by trying to make an electric aircraft. And these aircraft, if they can, they will be scaled up eventually. But you know the issue of the low altitude flights over Shibuya.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
What do they call that? The I forget what it's called.
There you go.
The Haneda Shinruto.
Ah, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, that's super loud, right?
Mm.
You know, some people are saying it's.
なんだっけ、79デシベル?
Yeah, like you can't hear the person next to you. You can't have a conversation normally. And in some places, they said it was as loud as being under the train tracks.
That's pretty loud.
Where I live, it's super loud. Like,
あ、そうなんだ。
If they do those low altitude flights, I have to move.
あ、そう。
I'm just kind of sensitive to that kind of thing. Right now, it's lovely. I love this. When they were doing the experimental flights with those planes on the new route, I don't know. I don't like it.
Okay. Okay.
I don't like it. It's really loud, and the flights were every 40 seconds.
I think it was like every 2 minutes or something, no?
Nah. Nah. No, because I could see both planes, right?
So そっか。
I could see the next plane before the plane has left. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So there's always a plane over my apartment.
Oh, man.
I mean, over Shibuya. This is true all over most of the city. I don't think where you live is exempt from this. It's crazy. You didn't notice this? I guess you have like those triple pane windows or something.
Yeah. So
no, it's crazy.
Somehow
it's crazy.
I didn't notice it at all. But
oh, it's crazy. I predict that if they start those low altitude flights, and obviously it's not gonna happen for a minute because of the whole virus thing. There's a silver lining, but if they start doing that, it'll have a serious effect on mental health and land prices and people's productivity, and it's so annoying. I really hope they don't do that.
Yeah, I mean, I had an impression that everyone hated it so much, and
it's so stupid.
They can't really ignore that.
Tokyo Bay is right there. Fly down over that. Fly somewhere, like, I don't know. But to noise pollute Tokyo and have constant airplanes. You know, I went to Shinjuku Gyoen while they were doing the tests for that new route. And it's seriously the whole time, all anyone can do is point at the airplanes and be like, oh. Like, everyone's kid is just pointing at the airplanes. It's just airplane after airplane after airplane after airplane after airplane. It's just make it stop. I'm so against it.
Yeah.
I will move if they do that, for sure. I'm not paying taxes to this shitty coup. Seriously.
Shitty coup.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, and, tsugi. Oh, sorry.
I wanted to mention, commercial aircraft use something called 100 low lead avgas, aviation gas. Aviation gas contains lead. Lead is toxic. It goes into the environment. It goes into the rain. It goes everywhere.
Yeah.
And it's not. That's not the only thing that they're emitting, but the aviation industry and the, you know, cruise ship, container ship, those massive ships have a sulfur problem, and aircraft have a lead problem.
Right.
I guess is how you can simplify it.
Hmm.
So you just can't keep putting more and more lead into the sky. So hopefully this goes somewhere soon.
Hmm. 次。
In a collaborative effort to combat the novel coronavirus, researchers at New York University and two hospitals in Wenzhou have developed an AI model which can predict the case severity of coronavirus with up to 80% accuracy based on reported myalgia and the levels of hemoglobin and alanine aminotransferase, a liver enzyme. Surprisingly, factors like age, gender, fever, immune response, and the presence of ground glass opacities were not as helpful in predicting the onset of acute respiratory distress syndrome. Being able to predict case severity can save lives by improving the allocation of resources like ventilators. The novel coronavirus has continued to propagate across the globe, so far infecting 932,000 people and taking 47,000 lives.
新コロナウイルスへの共同対策としてニューヨーク大学と中国温州の2つの病院の共同チームが症例としてこれまでに報告されている筋肉の痛みやヘモグロビンおよび肝臓酵素であるアラニンアミノトランスフェラーゼの値に基づいて最大 80% の精度でコロナウイルスの重症化を予測できる人工知能モデルを開発しました。驚くことに年齢、性別、発熱、免疫反応、すりガラス状陰影の有無などの要素は急性呼吸窮迫症候群の予測にはあまり役立っていませんでした。重症化を予測できれば人工呼吸器などリソースの割り当てを効率化できます。新コロナウイルスは世界中に感染拡大しており、これまでに93万2千人が感染し4万7千人の命が失われています。
Yep.
今そうね、93万5900人ぐらいになってるね、
うん、
あんまりねコロナウイルスの話したくないんだけどあのみんなその話しかしてないから。でもニュースも論文も全部これなんだよね。でもその中でこれはすごい面白いなと思った。
Do you are you interested in talking about things other than coronavirus?
If there's any, yeah.
Not about it. It's a weird... It's hard for me to care about a lot of things that I cared about a few months ago.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and when I tried to, you know, look at papers and stuff, everything is kind of connected to that now.Even if it's not directly connected, the researchers mentioned coronavirus, so it's really hard to take a break from it, you know?
Don't you think that the response would be about as good as possible since we're all just paying so much attention to coronavirus? Like, have this many people paid this much attention to something before? Like, ever?
Probably not.
In the world. In the
Probably
world.
Probably not.
No, right?
Yeah.
Like, we've never had this many people on Earth care about the same thing this much before.
Yeah, for sure. No, I don't think so. I mean, as far as I know. っていうか、まあ、自分のライフスパンの中ではないよね、そりゃ。
Yeah.
No, but this is a positive news, so I like it.
Yeah, I there's a lot of positive news, and this is one of the most important things that we need is to be able to tell who needs what kind of treatment, because our treatment resources are apparently quite limited. But the number of people infected is absolutely gigantic, right?
Yeah.
So, like, in the beginning, they were putting a lot of people in the ICU. And now they're putting, you know, they have to be a little bit more picky about it now.
Yeah.
Right? And if we could predict by taking blood tests and other things, who was...If you knew someone who seems fine now, if you knew that there was a high probability that they were going to end up having ARDS, you know, the acute respiratory distress syndrome, then you could prepare for that and you can sort of predict, you know, who will need it and who will not need it. Because right now they're having major problems of having, you know, they're not sure how to decide, you know, who needs a non-invasive ventilator like the CPAP machines, or who needs an invasive ventilator, because the conditions change so rapidly that a lot of people have died because they weren't able to, you know, transition them to some other equipment in time.
いや、これは本当に、なんか人工知能のすごい効果的な使い方っていうか。It's really interesting.
There's a website called coronaclinicaltrials.com that just has all the latest clinical trials that are being conducted with regards to coronavirus.
Okay.
And there are many, many trials being conducted now. There was a randomized double-blind study conducted by Wuhan University recently that suggests that hydroxychloroquine may be effective. But it was, I think they had two groups of 31 people, and then nobody died. Well, all the people who died were in the control group.
Okay.
Right? But it was like 6 people. It's not enough, but once you know, have several of these studies like this come out, then physicians will start to feel like they're making informed decisions.
Yeah.
The problem right now, I heard an interview with the ICU director at a hospital in Pittsburgh on the, he was interviewed on the JAMA network. His name's Derek Angus, and he was sort of describing the conditions there and some of the problems they were having. And apparently there's an organizational issue where no one is coordinating the clinical trials, right? So people are just showing up at all these different hospitals and they're trying to conduct trials, and the doctors are like, you know, just don't waste our time, you know, trying to conduct this trial and having us sign this and do this and change how we're treating our patients, right? So there's a huge conflict between people who want to treat the local problem, right? The people that are in their hospital, their patients, and the people who are trying to conduct trials, who are coming into the hospital and being like, you know, hey, can you give these 50 patients this drug and give these 50 patients this other drug, and can we move these people in this room, and, you know.
Yeah.
And according to Derek Angus, he believes that the reason why this isn't going well is because there isn't any sort of a clinical trial czar who can look at all the different trials. So let's say right now there's like 50 different trials. Now, how does the person that works at the hospital, you know, what information do they use to decide which trial makes sense to actually do, right? Because let's say you could run any one of 50 different trials, but, you know, if you're busy treating patients every day, are you going to sit down and compare all the different, you know, potential trials that could be run at your hospital? You know, so there should be an authority above that evaluates all the different proposed trials and coordinates, you know, where those trials might be appropriate and where they might not. So that was kind of an interesting insight that I heard.
So on that, I mean, my heart breaks for the people who were in the control group.
For the hydroxychloroquine?
Yeah, or I mean any kind of medication that could work.
Well, but, you know, some of these medications could have bad side effects. They suspect that some of the drugs they may try to use could actually make the condition much worse by having a bad interaction with the sort of the way the virus causes this cytokine storm.
Right, right.
So you have to be careful with diseases that interact with the immune system.
なんかこう世界中で、まあ、自分にもちろんメリットがあるかもしれないとはいえ、そうやってトライアルに参加したりとか、まあ、ワクチン、もう人のトライアルも始まってるじゃない。それにサインアップしてくれてる人とか、本当になんかありがたいっていう言葉では足りないけども、なんかそういう、もちろんその病院で働いてる人とか掃除している人とか、まあ、そういう人たちも含めてだけど本当に、ね、そういう人たちのおかげですごい助かってる命がたくさんあるっていうのはすごいことだよね。
Yeah, the way that they're talking about this like it's a war, you know, there are also heroes just like a war.
Yeah.
Because it takes a lot of courage to deal with sick, you know, dying people every day and put yourself at risk of getting sick and dying every day. And there's not a whole lot of light at the end of the tunnel yet, right?
Yeah.
It just seems like this will keep going and keep getting worse. And if you're a physician and you're dealing with people that are succumbing to this virus, you can only expect more of it for about as long as you can imagine, right?
Yeah.
So there's a real mental fatigue element to this. It's true for the lockdown also, but you know, everyone's dealing with a certain kind of fatigue. Not so much yet, but I think that will become a major issue over time.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, people's faces are already completely messed up from wearing those masks.
Yeah.
I mean, how many more weeks can you do that for before, you know, it's...
本当にそう。だからなんかこう、なんだろう。英語でニュースを見てる、その世界で何が起きてるとか、その、どれだけ医療現場が疲弊してるとか、その、同僚の医者を失った人の話とか、まあ、もう、信じられないぐらい大量の情報があるわけじゃない？その中でなんか日本がこう、まあ、私の母の知り合いの子供がこう、まあ、強制的にその闇部活に参加させられてるっていう話を聞いて、その要は学校は休校してるんだけど、その部活はもちろん先生も来てやってると。で、こう、なんか、例えばそのチームが弱くなっちゃうと競合に後で追いつけなくなっちゃうとかそういう理由でとか、まあ塾はもちろんやってる、だから受験で不利になっちゃうからとか、なんかその何を優先するかのギャップがあまりにもすごすぎて、
People need specific instructions in Japan.
言葉がないっていう、なんかやっぱそれってそのまあ感染者数がまだ日本はなんていうの、その、まあ、死者の数がそれに対して少ないとかそういうのもあるけど、こう英語の情報が入ってこないことによってその世界でどういうナラティブになってるっていうのがあんまりなんか浸透してないのかなっていう気はする。その闇部活とかに象徴されているようにこう、そういう場合じゃないよっていうのが当たり前のこととしてあんまり認識されてないっていうか。
Yeah. AndThe, you know, weighing the economic impact, like even that is out the window in a lot of these countries. It's gone. If you bring up like, you know, the economic impact in Italy, it's like, dude, like,
yeah.
I'm not saying we shouldn't consider it, but you know, if you make the wrong decisions, the economic impact will be absolutely horrific.
そうそう。だからそこのなんかバランスはすごく難しいし、どこで線引きするとかってまあすごく繊細な問題だと思うから、そこはいろいろこうディベイタブルだと思うんだけど、その部活とかっていうのはやっぱりなんていうの、考えなくても分かるようなことであってさ。そこにそのなんだろう、子供たちが勝手に集まって練習しちゃってるってなったらまだわかるけど、先生もそこに、まあ、先生がむしろそれを主導してるとかってなると話が全然違うし、あまりにも無責任だからすごくびっくりした。
Oh, it's like what I was trying to explain when you got the phone call. But, you know, if you infect 10 people and those 10 people infect 10 people, then that's 100 people. And you're now directly related to two deaths, assuming a 2% fatality rate.
Yeah.
So you can ride the train 1回 and infect 10人, and they infect 10人, and then that's 100 people.
Right.
That's two deaths.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So there's sort of a personal, individual responsibility. Because nobody wants to be responsible for killing two people just because they rode the train.
Yeah, right? For sure.
What do you make of Japan's preparedness? I'm having trouble figuring out how prepared Japan really is. How many beds are there that have staff and you know, everything they need to control infectious disease? And then, you know, because Innai Kansen is going to be absolutely ridiculous if the beds are not ready, right?
Yeah.
And what's the ventilator situation? Does Japan have ventilators? They don't have ventilators. What's going on? Do you know?
I was seeing some stats today. It doesn't look good. But it all depends on how... I don't know. I mean, how... So they're doing this, like... Gaisutsu jishuku on weekends, right? And I think they extended the toritsu no gakko no kyuko.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of it is still, you know... 例えばその、じゃあ私立の学校はどうするとか、
mm-hmm.
Like all kinds of things are just like dependent on その個人個人の判断。
Right, but the thing we're worried about is treatment capacity, right? And that's the whole flattening the curve thing. So like how many ventilators does Japan have? Because what I saw was that Japan has only 3,000 beds for infectious disease. That's it. And we can expect that those beds will be filled within 2 weeks, a week and a half, 2 weeks, I don't know.
Yeah.
So there's no beds under construction, but we're going to have no beds in 2 weeks. How is that possible?
Koike-san was explaining that, I think, in her press conference that she's... I mean, they're making efforts to increase that.
Have you noticed that there's still no masks for sale?
I know. Well, we're going to get two, right?
But I could have bought masks like months ago. I could have bought 10,000 masks and I could have sold it on our website, right?
Right.
And then we'd all have masks.
Yeah.
Why? There's no masks on the shelves right now at all. I've been checking. There's nothing.
Yeah. Nope.
But they discourage individuals from acquiring supply from other countries. Now, if Japan does the same thing they did with masks, which, by the way, was absolute failure, because I see people without masks, and I know people that don't have masks that need masks, right?
Yeah.
They could have had a mask if private individuals just imported that stuff. Because the government has not stocked the shelves. It's been forever. There's still nothing.
Yep.
So... is that going to happen with ventilators too? Because I don't want to be on a hospital bed or someone I care about to be on a hospital bed and then there's no ventilator there. Because why? Because the government didn't order the ventilator? I don't get it.
Yeah, me neither.
Like what's going on? I just checked with a supplier in China.
Oh,
I can order ventilators.
Yeah, I saw the email.
I will do it. And I don't know, the Japanese government can arrest me or I don't know what the rules are, but I don't understand. I can order ventilators right now. Right now. I can order them.
Well, I thought that the issue was more like the lack of human resources. Like even if we have enough ventilators, which we probably don't. We need people who can, you know, use them.
That's not properly. True, though. You have to put them on the ventilator. But everywhere else in the world, the problem seems to be that they don't have enough ventilators. So, like, yeah. if you have a bed, then you have staff, right? And once you're on a ventilator, there's nothing more that the doctors can do for you, unfortunately.
Yeah.
You're on the ventilator. What doctors are doing right now is they're taking ventilators off of patients and putting it on other people.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Or like sharing multiple people.
But I can order ventilators right now. Should I do it right now? I have my finger hovering over.
There are there's this weird situation. I mean, I don't know what exactly is right, but I see experts in Japan, being angry with each other. Like, one side is saying, it's not that simple. Like, even if we have ventilators, like, we need people to operate them, and it's not that simple. And on the other hand, people are like, it doesn't matter. Like, we need enough ventilators, so let's just, get some more. And I don't really understand.
Do you need a degree to operate it? I mean, it has an instruction manual. You know, you turn the knob and you press the button.
Like, no, but it's. I mean, the invasive ones are definitely, something that it's not like you can just do it, right? So.
Well, yeah, it's not nothing, but
like I think you need like specific knowledge and skills and trainings to be able to operate.
But this is a bunch of bullshit though, because people are dying, and if you can, and all over the world we're seeing that people don't have enough ventilators. If you're going to treat someone for coronavirus...
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know where the truth is, because the experts are... It seems like there's no consensus at all.
But people on the ground in the hospitals are saying that they don't have enough ventilators. I don't know what they're saying in Japan, but I'm assuming that eventually people on the ground in Japanese hospitals are going to say we don't have enough ventilators. And right now, you can buy an invasive ventilator for anywhere between $28,000 and $55,000. They have 300 in stock of the AG70 model, 143 units of the A40 model, 100 units of the ACM model, 4,000 units of the SH300 model ventilator. On and on. So if someone in the government could just log on to Alibaba and order some ventilators if that's necessary, that would be great.
Yeah.
Because we saw what happened with the masks. There's no freaking masks. It's just crazy. Should I order masks?
Probably should.
I don't get it.
Yeah, me neither.
So there's non-invasive ventilators, and then you can run a non-invasive ventilator at high pressure. And if the subject lays on their stomach, I guess it helps. But you can actually use a non-invasive ventilator, and it's helpful for a lot of patients. The problem is that the high flow rate, these ventilators, if you put them on like this, they are pushing a lot of aerosolized virus particles out potentially into the air. So they can actually create a more dangerous environment for people in that room, because the high flow oxygen aerosolizes the virus, and then it kind of gets... Yeah. So they're putting more importance now on isolating patients who are on a ventilator, or having them in the same room as other, people who are already infected. But that could potentially... So they've noticed that people on ventilators actually, in many cases, recover more slowly once they're on a ventilator.
Yeah. I'm just looking at the Reuters article, and it says in Japan, like in Tokyo, we have 1,892 dai. So it's definitely wow. not enough at all. I think in New York, they're using like, I don't know, 何万台 とか. So in the entire country, we have 13,000 dai, but 39% of those are for children. So for grown-ups, it's less than 1,000. It says that are not being used as of February this year.
Wait, how many did you say there are in Tokyo?
1,892.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Pretty depressing.
Well, I hope it'll be fine and they know what they're doing, because you can seriously just buy them right now.
Yeah, I don't.
And Elon Musk did the same thing. He bought a bunch of ventilators from China and he just gave it to the mayor of New York.
Right.
And he's like, yeah, why aren't people doing this? Like, why aren't people buying ventilators? It's crazy. Because he just ordered those. I swear he did the exact same thing I just did. There's nothing magical about it.
Yeah, there's this weird situation that I've been seeing. I mean, I'm repeating myself, but like there are experts in Japan who are like, or Japanese experts within and outside of Japan that get really angry when people say, oh, we need to get more ventilators. So maybe, I mean, I have no idea where they're coming from. I don't have enough knowledge to make a judgment, but.
Well, I trust the experts overseas more, unfortunately, because they've been exposed to the real thing. They're dealing with it, you know, at in the future, essentially. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so now. I don't know what's going to happen. I say this every week, but
I think we need some like novel ideas to fight this novel virus. If they could fly in doctors who have kultai, who have antibodies already, and then maybe convert that Diamond Princess to like a coronavirus only hospital, you know, because you need to eliminate the Innai Kansen problem, right. I think. And so you just need to have a separate hospital. They could use the Olympic Stadium building, you know. What's wrong with that?
I think Koike-san was suggesting that they use the Senshimura, right, for people with no symptoms or, you know, lighter symptoms. So they can stay there, because right now, even if your symptoms are, you know, not severe, you will be at the hospital, and that doesn't help at all when there are way more people with, you know, infection.
Yeah, and they should just they should set up a hospital on the first, you know, three floors of Senshimura, just for, I don't know. They have those brand new buildings, and they can use one building for quarantine and one building for treatment. But if someone shows up here from Europe and the government just tells them, like, oh, yeah, can you, like, self-isolate for 2 weeks? I don't know if that's enough. They should give them a hotel room, be like, hey, you know, you seriously need to chill for 2 weeks. Because a lot of the infections that we've seen recently are from people who were traveling overseas.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
How do you think this will change the world?
I don't even know. I mean, I don't know how the economy is going to be. I don't even want to think about it yet. I mean,
a lot of people are having to adjust, and they need to think about, like, hey, maybe I should try working in a different industry, or maybe I should try. I think a lot of people will maybe leave Tokyo, you know, because if you're doing remote work, then you were only in Tokyo for work. But now you can work remotely. Your living expenses are much lower if you move to Inaka.
Yeah, but then at the same time, like, I talked to my friends and they're kind of realizing the disadvantages of remote work too, that, like, they didn't see before.
Mm-hmm.
So,
like what?
Like my friends are all complaining about how it's really bad for your backs and shoulders and stuff, because, you know, the office chairs are usually, you know, super expensive, like nice ones that are specifically designed for you to be sitting there for 8 hours in front of the computer. But if you live alone, you don't have that kind of chair usually. So, you know, my friends will have, like, whatever, dining chair or sofa. And, you know, it takes a toll on you if you just, you know, work 8 hours a day every day sitting in a shitty chair. Or sometimes, I mean, you and I could be having that right now too. But if you talk non-face-to-face, then sometimes, なんか微妙なニュアンスじゃないけど、especially if it's more than like three people or something, but then the dynamics change, and it's, I mean, it's, you know, it's about human relationships, so it's not that simple, right? So, なんかそういうのとか、まあいろんなこう、まああんまり予期してなかった問題とか。
What do you think is the worst thing about remote work?
I don't know. I mean, I've been doing remote work since I leave the office job, and I don't have any complaints, but I hear a lot of my friends talk about
but mainly
like how their back hurts and stuff.
Who are these Obachan?
But it's a serious issue, you know, if it's every day.
Well, and you need to have a nice chair at home.
A lot of people want to use 2-3 screens.
Oh, they need their Bloomberg
to work
terminal
efficiently. Well, not that even, but, you know, to have more screen space. But then if you live in a small apartment, you just don't have that much space on your table. So that kind of like 細かい なんか支障を結構私の友達は言ってる。
I think operation, business operations compared to setting things up is much easier remote. I guess what I'm trying to say is training someone remotely is quite difficult.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what one of my friends was talking about too. Like, その新卒とかが入ってきて、とか、まあ、アシスタントがいて仕事を振らなきゃいけないってなった時に、まあ、口頭でその場で、あ、ちょっとこれやっといてって言って、パーって説明するのはいいんだけど、メールとか、じゃあ電話会議設定して、じゃあ説明してってやると、まあ、その説明するのに時間かかるから、もう自分でやっちゃえみたいな感じになって、その、下に仕事を振るっていうのはすごく難しいし、まあ、今マイケルが言ったように、新人をトレーニングするみたいなのは当然すごく難しい。
Showing someone how to use software is actually, you know, it's like impossible remotely, unless you can do like a weird, I don't know what they do, like the screen takeover, like let me take over your computer and show you how to use it. But I don't have that capability. So, you know, where you can move the other person's mouse around. And,
Yeah.
So if you had that, then I guess, I mean, that solution exists. So I guess technically that's maybe you could do training remotely.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there are going to be some good things coming out of this whole thing, but まだなんか日本はまだそこなんていうの入り口の手前みたいな感じだから。
I think people should try to prepare as much as possible.
I know.
なんか安倍さんがさ、
なんか安倍さんがそのツイッターで、まあ4月から始まる新社会人とか、あの学生の人へのメッセージ。みたいなので、なんかこの経験は皆さんの大きな財産になりますみたいなこと言ってて、なんか人もすごい亡くなってるし、日本はこれから本当にやばくなりそうっていうところで、なんかこの経験が財産になるってなかなか考えられないんだけどなってちょっと思った。
Yeah.
Like, it's too early to say that.I thought
in Japan, it's super early in Japan because it's like, no, it, like bad things are going to happen like これから
like, I thought it was pretty tone deaf.
You remember how everyone was thinking about this virus and the potential of a pandemic before this whole thing really got crazy? Do you remember how everyone was thinking about it?
Yeah, I mean, I think at first it was kind of like, oh no, like it might be really scary. And then there was a period of time where we were like, oh, I guess it's not that bad. You know? Oh, it's like the flu. It's like the flu. Maybe like it's a little worse, but you know. なんかそんな感じの時期もあったじゃん。
It's like the flu.
Yeah, and then, you know,
famous last words.
Worse and worse, and now we're here, but
you know, I was afraid this was going to happen, and I really feel like there was not enough pessimism at the government level, and humans are extremely susceptible to wishful thinking, and I really think that happened, like, big time. This time around. I think if people were more pessimistic about the potential bad outcomes, you know, all the leaders are standing up and saying like, nobody saw this coming. Who could have thought something like this could ever happen ever? You know? And even the experts at the highest level are saying that they're very surprised.
Yeah.
And we can be surprised by what happened, but we shouldn't be surprised that one of the possibilities that we were aware of happened, right? Isn't that normal? Like, we knew this was possible, and then something possible happened. Even if it seemed unlikely at the time, I think we should have been really,
Yeah, but even then, it's still surprising. I mean, I guess it's okay to be surprised. Even if it was, even if you were aware that this was a possibility.
Well, I'm surprised that nobody stopped it from happening.
I'm not. I'm not surprised with that. I'm not surprised with how Japanese government is being so slow. This is exactly how they always are.
Well, it's how all governments are. It's totally reactionary, right?
Yeah.
Well, I hope we don't need ventilators or masks.
Yeah.
Because if we do, someone, you know, if someone needs a ventilator or whatever, they should just email us and I'll email the people that have ventilators. And I don't know. Maybe that fixes it?
Maybe, I don't know. We'll see.
It's we'll so see. Weird.
Yeah, I know. Well, 文字起こしのテキストは iPhone、iPad、Mac、Android のバイリンガルニュース公式アプリからチェックしてみてください。月額240円で全部のテキスト読み放題、あと360円の宿題プランもあります。各エピソードごとにいろんな問題を出題しているのでやってみてください。Facebook、Twitter、Instagram もやってるのでフォローお願いします。
Please check out our website.
Yeah, bilingualnews.jp サイトにストアもあるのでそちらも要チェック。これちょっとリモートで撮ったからどうなってんのかな。ちゃんと聞こえるか、聞こえるかっていうか、
yeah, we can't really hear what it's going to sound like。
そう、そうなんだよね。
While we're talking.
そう、それはちょっと分かんないし、まあしかもあの動画通話が全部なんとなくうまくいかなかったから、音声だけで喋ってるからね、なんか。
What's up with that? We need to figure that out. My internet's not slow. Is your internet?
Mine's supposed to be okay. I don't know why, but it was weird.
I'm gonna have to check on some stuff.
うん、やっぱ動画あった方が話しやすいよね絶対。多分音声だけで話して収録するのもう何年ぶりとかじゃない多分。あ、それは嘘だ。でも、あ、多分子供産んだ直後に一回電話でやったよね。でも結構難しい。
Before that, maybe the boat.
Oh yeah. そうだね、それこそクルーズ船だよ。クルーズ船から電話で収録したのあったけど、あんまりね、
yeah, you wouldn't want to be doing that right now.
No way. まあ、なかなかね、難しいよね、音声だけっていうの。顔が見えないからね。でもこれが本当にこのまま続いたら次マイケルに会えるのはいつなんだろうっていう感じ。
I don't know. I mean, we were reviewing the 三つの三つ。
Yeah. 三つの三つ。
What were they again?
密集、ミス、何、ちょっと待って、日本語が分からないよ。
なんだっけ、
そのだから同じ
換気の悪い、
あ、そうそうそうそう、
うん、and then 人が集まる場所、
うん、
and then 近い距離で会話、
そうそうそう、
あ、その3つ。
そうだから収録してる時に窓を開けられないからね、あの外の
開けられるよ if we have to、
まあ、開けられるけど、そう、音が入っちゃうっていうのと、まあ長時間対面で喋ってるっていう、
うん、
まあしかも同じテーブルだから、
so、I wonder, when I see these TV shows, you know, all the stuff on TV, you know, they're in the studio, they have people there, right? And、
yeah.
have you noticed they're starting to get spaced out more and
more? Yeah.
More and more. But at some point, it's kind of like, it's not necessarily that spaced out, and they're often talking about, you know,Mitsu no Mitsu, or you know, coronavirus itself, right? So it's like, you know, should you guys really be all in the same room? You know, how did you guys get to work, right? Like, how did they all get to work?
Yeah, でも政府もそうだからね、思い、なんか3つの3つの話してるところでめっちゃ3つの3つみたいな。
It's the same as the
記者会見とかもそうだしさ。
顔を触りながら。Don't touch your face.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So, そういうの結構多いよね。
Yeah.
Well, let's try our best to stay safe and wash our hands.
Mm-hmm. And I hope we can find a way to feel more informed or feel a little bit more certainty about what's going on.
Yeah.
Bye.
All right.おしまい。
以上です。
バイ。
バイ。